announcing plans to leave as chair of the RNC effective March 8th. Wall Street, the Dow is up 63 points, NASDAQ ahead 30. More details, SRN News.
Peter and John, they walked with Jesus for 3 years, right?
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Pastor Jeff Simmons as he shares why we need to be open to God's leading.
But then after Jesus ascends into heaven, the Holy Spirit comes. So now, I mean, it's not just every day, it's every moment that you're with the Lord and the Holy Spirit working through you. So I think we're all able, not in our own strength by the grace of God, but in the strength that God provides through the Spirit in us. And then it's being available, right? It's just saying, God, every day, what do you want to do through me? You wake up and you just go, God, I'm your servant, right? Yeah. I'm not living for myself. It's not about making money or looking great in the world's eye. It's I'm living for you. What do you want to do through me, God, for your glory? And all of a sudden you become available to God, and then you start seeing God work. You see these divine appointments that God has that they were there before, but you weren't looking. You weren't ready.
Hear more from Pastor Jeff about learning to be who God made you to be at familyminute.org.
Have you turned on the news? Gavin Newsom is running for president. He just hasn't told you yet. He's leaving a trail of destructive policies, a $70 billion budget deficit, rising crime rates, and raging homelessness. Assemblyman James Gallagher isn't going to let him ruin the North State on the way out.
This is James Gallagher. Because of Gavin Newsom, the California dream is now a nightmare. Gavin Newsom spends more time campaigning in other states about national issues than addressing our needs here. He tramples all over our individual freedoms and supports new tax increases, all while releasing dangerous criminals into our neighborhoods. I've had enough. I've taken on Gavin Newsom and won, and I'm going to keep taking him on for you. We will stop his plans to undermine Prop 13 and raise taxes, hold him accountable for not securing our border, and end his giveaways at your expense. Please visit my website, electjamesgallagher.com, and join my movement to help stop Gavin Newsom.
Paid for by James Gallagher for Assembly 2024.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio for their news, weather, sports, and a community connection. It's the backbone of the emergency alert system. It's critical that we keep AM radio in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress we need AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
America, bless God. Fellow Americans, your hearing this admonition establishes that you are one who cares for the America that has been so blessed by Almighty God. We implore you to embrace the laws of nature and of nature's God, to read and know the Constitution. Join with other moral and religious people and organizations to foster the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. America, bless God.
Your greatest achievement is your family. You worked long and hard to grow your dreams for the ones you love, knowing their wishes will be honored should the unexpected happen. Introducing Caring Wills and Trusts from the law offices of Lawrence Puritz. Let us customize your will and trust now for your family's needs tomorrow. Call now for a free consultation. Caring Wills and Trusts. Take care of your family today to provide a better tomorrow.
Call 343-0500. Online at caringwillsandtrusts.com.
Good Monday morning. Welcome, everybody, to KKXX Christian Talk Radio on this Monday, February 26th. Glad you could be with us. We're going to talk about Fannie Willis and how some people are saying she is trying to use God to try to get her out of a jam that she kind of got herself into. And what you do when you're in a jam. You know, when you've been caught doing something wrong or illicit, that maybe you need to just pull back and try to tell the truth. And that seems to be what is happening right now as we speak. But with Fannie Willis and the prosecutor that she hired, Nathan Wade, in this RICO case against President Trump, which has really gone on the back burner. I don't think anybody really knows a whole lot what that's going on, but it's just the drama, whether there was impropriety involved between the district attorney, Fannie Willis, and her hired gun, Nathan Wade. Apparently they'd had an affair dating back well before she hired him. to help in the case, and they had a romantic liaison. I think you know the whole story. But I'm with the Reverend Brandon Merrick of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Paradise. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
This is one of these train wrecks that you drive by and you can't help but literally stop and watch it. I mean, I've been sucked into this coverage and watching this go back and forth and hearing the commentary. And it really is a train wreck with what these two people have done. And I can't imagine they're going to be kept on the case. And I think from a religious perspective, I read an article in a New York Post talking about she cloaks herself in God and race to say she is above criticism. Going into a church and declaring her innocence, it feels like to some that maybe she was maybe just using God in order to try to get her out of a jam. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And as we talked before the show, I think that a lot of this lies at the hands of those who run that church. Mm-hmm. That they're allowing the church to be this,
yeah,
to be this cover, you know, and the writer of the article, you know, calls it a sermon. I don't know if it happened in the middle of a service, mm-hmm. whether it really was a sermon or she just was given some airtime. But either way, our church's pulpits should not be used for things like this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as Fannie Willis, the person, you know, certainly we have seen evidence that she's not very forthright. And, you know, I think that leads to a bigger problem in our justice system because we see more and more stories of judges and DAs that are very politically motivated. They're not going after the truth. They're going after an agenda.
What bothers me is the way that people use God. This would be considering using God's name in vain. I think when we think of God's name in vain, we think of somebody using the word GD or just using Jesus's name. Mm-hmm. Oh, so and so, and I think this is using God's name in vain. Is it not?
Or it is? No,
yes.
Absolutely. And bearing false witness.
Right.
Using the name of God to bear false witness.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, I think that we see it so often that we've kind of become numb to
right.
some of these things, that, you know, the people stand up and say, you know, I'm innocent. I did nothing wrong, even though all the evidence points that direction.
Right.
And then if push comes to shove, right, let me get the church involved so you can see that I'm doing this in a church. So I must be serious.
Uh-huh.
When really what you're doing is making a mockery.
Right, and just to make sure we get you kind of updated on this, I'm sure that you've been following this and you have the details already. But apparently, before that Nathan Wade was hired by the district attorney Fannie Willis of Fulton County in Georgia, apparently the Trump team had sent some investigators out and they were able to find that she and him had communicated through text messaging. A couple of thousand times. That's a lot of text messages.
That's a lot.
and they also had phone calls, like hundreds of phone calls, and they were able to track where, because of his cell phone, they were able to track where he was at certain times. And at one time, he was there at 12:43 in the morning in the vicinity of her apartment till about 5 o'clock that morning. Well, that, you know, I'm sure they're not working on, you know, preparing a case at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, and I think it goes to an even another question. You know, there's a rule that says when you've dug yourself a hole, you've dug yourself into a hole, stop digging. And it seems like these two, instead of just acknowledging, wait a minute, you know what? We were caught doing something wrong. Confess. And think how much better off they would be right now. I think this is a lesson for all of us, is it?
It is. I think it's also a lesson for anyone who's in a leadership or a public position.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I've come under a lot of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what leaders do, right? People in the public do. They come under criticism. That's part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the position. And so to try to push back, and, you know, celebrities sort of say the same thing. Now, everybody is entitled to some privacy, I understand. Mm-hmm. But if you are going to be a celebrity, guess what? You're going to have a lot of people wanting to know what you're doing, where you're doing it and why and all these other things. And so you go into it, you should go into it prepared, which means that then you should hold yourself to a higher standard.
Well, yeah. Well, this is even more than being a celebrity. This is somebody who's prosecuting a case.
Yeah. This is someone who's supposed to be have morals and...
Well, at least have proper ethics. And what we're talking about, that the standard is not just was there impropriety. It's just the appearance of impropriety, whether or not they were involved or not. And it certainly appears they were involved maybe as early as 2019. And now it looks as though the two may be facing more than being removed from the case, perhaps being disbarred. And some people even suggesting that they could face charges of perjury and perhaps face time behind bars. What to do when you get caught red-handed? Is it really a good idea to go into a church and wrap yourself around God? We'll be right back.
KKXX AM 930. We're also on 103.9 FM. Give it a shot. Put us in your auto dials on your radio.
Serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. I'm Michael Naranjo, and I'm a veteran. Today, I'm a sculptor. My fingers are my eyes.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year.
With DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
We are at the International Center of Advanced Linguistics, observing people trying to pronounce the most difficult words in the human language. Let's listen in.
I was wrong.
Very good, Jeff. Now, Becky?
I apologize, but if you hadn't done what you did, I never would have...
Becky, the words just don't sound right when you throw in blame and excuses. Why don't you work on it, and we'll try it again tomorrow. Okay, Cindy?
It was my... fault.
Good. And the rest?
I'm responsible.
Great. Now, Andy.
I'm sorry, okay?
Andy, it doesn't quite sound right with the sarcasm. Try it again. You can do this.
I'm truly sorry. I'm sorry.
The words are, I'm sorry, or I was wrong, or it was my fault. How are you at saying the most difficult words in the English language? A message from Life Radio, KKXX, AM and FM.
Fannie Willis is, this case is so interesting. I think it's got a lot of people's attention. And we're talking about it from a religious perspective. Ms. Willis, the DA in Fulton County, hired her her boyfriend, apparently at the time. Evidence seemed to suggest that, certainly. Nathan Wade, and he got a large salary. Some of that money apparently was spent on her. She says that the money, she reimbursed him in cash, although there's no record of it. It just stinks to high heaven. And making matters worse was she recently, this was I think a couple of weekends ago, she went into to a church in Georgia and gave a 35-minute sermon talking about that she's been a victim of racism and that they're going after somebody who's an innocent person. And I just don't know whether – and you made a good point. I'm speaking to the Reverend Brandon Merrick of Our Savior Lutheran Church. I hadn't considered that. The idea that a church allows this kind of thing to happen I think is what's troubling too. I mean, why doesn't a church say, no, you're not coming in here to use us and use a place of worship to try to get yourself out of a jam? And that's kind of what it appears has happened here.
Yeah, and, I teach my people in my congregation, right, that Christians, we are truth people. Mm-hmm. We are people that seek after the truth. Mm-hmm. And just way too many times I see churches that are just willing to sort of push aside the truth in order to be, and I mentioned earlier, the cool parent, mm-hmm. Knowing what they should do, but yet wanting to appear more friendly, more hip. I know that's really not a word these days, yeah. But right, more relevant so that they kind of change the way they do things and the way they look in order to appear to attract more people.
I'll quote from the article. It was in the New York Post about a week ago. Draped in black victimhood, Ms. Willis bemoaned how tough her job is as a black woman and implied that that she's been subjected to racist attacks. She used her status and race to stand in front of a congregation of Christians as an elected official to garner political sympathy. And worse, church leaders applauded her political rhetoric in God's house. They nodded their heads in agreement and murmured with pleasure as she used the pulpit for self-promotion. This is so sad that a church allows itself to be used like this. And you do see a lot of this happening, particularly in the South. And you do see it, you know, a lot with you know, with Baptist churches down South where this kind of thing happens. It's not that unusual for this kind of thing to be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Her performance was another example of what is wrong with America's churches. And this is the article quoting in the New York Post, especially black churches, as they're always trying to serve two masters when there is only one. That's good. That's good. First of all, I'm speaking with the Reverend Brandon Merrick of Our Savior Lutheran Church. What should Fannie Willis have done from the get-go when this came out? And what should she do now? Let's go back in time. What should she have done when this first came about and there were questions about it? What should she have done?
Well, I mean, if she is a woman of faith, I think it's pretty simple. It's repent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have an expression in our church, and it's the way forward. It's always the way that we walk with God, and it's mm-hmm. repent, receive, and reflect. And it always begins in repentance, accepting. And this is not just Fannie's issue, right? This is all of those out in public and high officials and powerful people who are just absolutely unwilling to admit what they've done, right? Mm-hmm. They will just go to their graves swearing, sometimes to God, that they did no wrong, even though all the evidence points in their direction. And they just feel as if as long as they can continue to hold on to their innocence, you know, maybe that'll get them through, when what God calls us to do is repent of our sins so that we can give it to him and he can take it from us. So we don't have to bear
it anymore. This reminds me a little bit of O.J. Simpson. I sometimes when I think about that, what happened there, if he could go back in time and say, and confess early what he had done and acknowledge that he was in diminished capacity, that maybe he was, you know, maybe he was on some substance and he was jealous. And instead of maintaining his innocence when everybody knows that he did it, why wouldn't it have been better off for him? He probably would have, you know, been in prison for a while, probably would have been considered maybe second degree diminished capacity, probably would have gotten out with good behavior, acknowledged what he had done, pay recompense. And I wonder if his life would have been better than it is now. And that's what's made me think of the whole thing with Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade, is if they had just come clean from the get-go, you know, how much better their life would be if they just acknowledged their wrongdoing.
Yeah, well, and again, they could restore their relationship with God.
Yeah.
And the more you want to claim your innocence, the more you want to lie before him, you're putting God in a position where, you know, he won't know you when mm-hmm. the time comes. The Bible makes that, I think, pretty clear, which I believe is more important, right, than our status here on earth is our status before God.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know anything about her. But, you know, simply based on everything that we've read and
right.
her responses and everything else, I would say what that church really needs to do is hold her accountable.
You know, just so I could say this, I really hope that none of this is true. I really hope that she's innocent. I really hope that this affair started after he was hired and not before he was hired.
Well, my understanding is he's married.
Yes, he's married.
Okay.
Yes, but even then, that's not good either. You're right. That's another problem on this case. There's so many things involved in this. It's such of a, it's a train wreck, and there's a part of me that has compassion for these two, but I think I'd have more compassion if they just fessed up and said that they'd done something wrong and they regret it and they're asking for forgiveness. I think people would want to do that. We'll continue our chat with the Reverend Brandon Merrick of Our Savior Lutheran Church when we return. A lime green lizard scuttles down on the cabin wall.
and all of these spirit voices.
Hi, I'm Jenna Ushkowitz. Animals protect, comfort, and give us their love. It's time we repaid the favor. American Humane encourages everyone to do four simple things. Adopt from a local rescue group or shelter. Help animals in disasters by becoming an American Humane Rescue Volunteer. Choose only humanely raised foods. And help endangered creatures by supporting American Humane certified institutions. Visit AmericanHumane.org to learn more.
Monday on Truth for Life, Alistair Begg explains why society's moral collapse begins inside each individual.
Paul is actually describing the consequences of the world when it refuses to worship God as he is.
Learn about the link between idolatry and moral decay as you listen Monday to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
You're teaching and talk for real life.
Life Radio, KKXX, AM and FM.
This is Live Local Talk.
Again, quoting from this editorial in the New York Post, talking about Fannie Willis's sermon, I suppose, at a church in Atlanta. The church leader stood by as Ms. Willis gave a campaign speech mixed with the invocation of God and embraced her after she finished poisoning his house with political rhetoric. The cloak might work on flawed men, but God sees right through it. I don't think it's just flawed men that can see through it. I don't think it's just God that can see through it. I think just about anybody who's looking at this could see right through it. With the Reverend Brandon Merrick of Our Savior Lutheran Church. By the way, their service time is 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. They're over on Pence Road in Paradise, Our Savior Lutheran Church. Have you ever been involved in a situation, you can't give names or maybe details, where somebody's come to you in kind of a jam like this, where they know they've done something that they wish they hadn't done, and they're seeking forgiveness, but they don't know, they don't want to come fully clean with what they did? Has that ever happened? I imagine that happens a lot with the pastor.
Well, as far as being in such a jam that right, they don't want, they don't know if they could go through with complete confession with everybody involved, kind of thing. It's happened a couple of times.
Well, sometimes there's more to it. You know, sometimes
there's always more to it.
But sometimes there's the person who has maybe done something wrong may have some interesting points to say in his or her defense. So where it's not a clear cut case of, you know, or I'm guilty of something. But I wonder if Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade, what they should do right now. What should they do right now? If you are their advisor, and not their attorney,
right.
It's a whole different ball game. But if they came to you and said, Pastor, we're in a jam here. I mean, we're probably going to be removed from the case. We could be disbarred. Probably going to be fired from our jobs, disbarred, and maybe face charges of perjury. What should they do?
You know, if I was their pastor and had that relationship where they would listen, you know, I would say, you know, the first thing you have to do is go to those direct people that were involved. You know, if this is all true, which is, of course, always a big if.
Yeah.
You know, and he was married. That's the first place, you know, they would have to go is to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have to, you know, confess,
right.
You know, ask for forgiveness from her, work through that. Obviously, cause it's not going to happen, you know, quickly. You know, and then you would, you know, and then I would recommend going then to the legal parties and confessing.
But living with this lie is not something a Christian can easily live with. I mean, a real Christian has a heart, would have, I mean, we all live with sins,
right.
that we have and we'll probably take to our grave. There are probably sins that you've committed, sins that I've committed, sins that we've all committed that we're like, oh, I wish I could go back, you know, 30 years and change that, you know.
Which we can't.
We can't do that. But
nor do we, though. So when we confess to God, when we confess to the people that we've done wrong, and I've done that, I've gone back to someone that I sinned against years and years prior, and I hadn't talked to them in years, went to them and told them what was going on at that time, what I was thinking and feeling, mm-hmm. and then I've asked for forgiveness. When you do that and you get forgiveness from God, you get forgiveness from the person, then you can move on. You don't need to hold on to that.
Yeah, it is such a load off your back and your mind when you've been able to confess what you've done to God and confess what you've done to somebody else and hurt them and let them know how deeply sorry you were and let them know that you yourself suffered because of your damage that you did to that mm-hmm. person. That is a great load off your mind when you do that kind of thing. We have about 2 minutes left in the show. I know we're getting really close to Easter Sunday, and I just want to be curious what's going on over at Our Savior Lutheran Church over in Paradise. What was the message this past Sunday, and what are we looking forward to next Sunday?
So I mentioned that we're going through a devotional series, so we're on day 11 today, and for the first time, I'm sending out a devotion daily by email to all of our people, and it's actually prompted some great discussions and mm-hmm. text chains between some of our members, which I think is just wonderful.
Yeah.
And so this week is 40 days on the mountain. We looked on yesterday at Moses, who was up on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, receiving the word of God, right? Receiving mm-hmm. the tablets. You know, all the while he's doing that, God's people are down there impatiently waiting for Moses to come back. When he doesn't, they make a calf so that they might follow the calf then to mm-hmm. the promised land. And so Moses, after coming down because God said, hurry up and get down there, your people are rebelling against me. And Moses goes down there, of course, gets really, really angry and throws down the tablets and breaks them. And
let's go back up and get some more.
Well, and he goes back up, but he goes back up for 40 days and 40 nights to repent on behalf of the people, uh-huh. right? To appeal to God. And so, you know, Jesus, as he goes into that wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, he goes on our behalf, just like Moses was up for his people, Jesus goes for us.
You know, that's
his life.
That, you know, that is the message of Easter Sunday, and not just Easter Sunday. I mean, the whole Lent season, the idea of repenting for the mistakes that we've made. Not the mistakes. Jesus made mistakes, I would think. He didn't sin. We all make mistakes, but sinning is a whole different thing. What a great discussion. The Reverend Brandon Merrick of Our Savior Lutheran Church, their service time is 10 o'clock on Sunday. You can find them online if you're ever up in Paradise or over on Pence and Billy, I think.
Pence and Billy, yeah.
Pence and Billy Road. Pastor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us, everybody. We sure appreciate it. We're going to turn things over now to national programming for more Christian talk. We'll do that after a commercial break. And so long, everybody.
This is Roland Trujillo, host of Shedding Shackles, heard weekends here on KKXX. A lot of people can't bear hearing about love because all they've ever known is false love and people being mean to them. But there is a real love, and God created it